I'm digging. My dad gets put into a deuce coma and on a ventilator for an unknown virus that we all now know is COVID-19. For what I believe for 35 days, I don't know, my memory's still kind of blah. It was, you really are in a fog. It was the most weird way to watch somebody you love suffer and figure out what's going on. You can't be there. You can only call up twice a day. Only one family member can. And you're sitting on the phone for majority of the day just trying to get those two phone calls. But I was calling up two times a day. And every day, nothing, the news they gave me was nothing but hopelessness. His lungs are like cement. He has MRSA. He has a blood clot. We're not seeing brain activity. All while I can't go up and see him. I'm still working, keeping everyone informed and calm, trying to keep up with his bills and my bills. I'm not going to lie to you. All I truly wanted to do was scream, I want my daddy. I didn't understand what God was doing. And I didn't know what to do because my daddy was my protector. And usually when crazy, chaotic things like this happen, I'd call him, Dad, what do we do? That wasn't an option. But here I am digging and digging and digging and digging and digging, and I want to hear that clank. Clunk, clank, whatever you want to hear. I'm digging, and I want to hear that I hit it, that it's done. I don't have to dig anymore. I don't want to dig anymore. This is awful. But nope, I had much more and a lot more deeper digging to do. I get a call from the hospital. We need you to come up here. Okay, maybe I'm going to get to see my dad, right? Whew. No, they wouldn't let me anywhere near my dad. I get up to that hospital room and the doctor sit me down and they tell me all hope is gone. We need you to pick the date and time that we're going to kill your dad is what it felt like. I had to pick the time my daddy was supposed to die. So I sat in that room and I just prayed. The doctor said, we just need to know. So I picked Friday, 2 o'clock. And I think this was like a Monday or a Tuesday, so it gave me a few days to prepare. And I let all my family know the time and, you know, so start calling up, talking to Zier. They also tell me, you better get a burial figured out ASAP. Because we don't want his virus-infected body in the hospital any longer. Once he's dead, he's out. So I'm calling around, and I'm getting a burial all set for my dad. Boy, that was hard. Can't go. They, you know, you're calling these funeral homes, and they're saying, you can't come to the funeral, and you can't see the body. So all along, I'm like, wow, I just have that last memory of my dad. I'm not going to get a hold of him again or touch him again or even see him again. But I call around and I get that all figured out. Friday came. I get the call. Katie's doing worse. He's in a lot of pain. You need to change up that time to be much sooner. So I call my family and call my grandma, who we're trying to keep calm, mind you, because the year before that she had strokes. And she was on a high risk of having another one. And I had to call her and tell her, Grandma, your baby boy, they gotta take him off that life support sooner. You want to get up there, or you want to call up there and get your last words in? And she did. And we all said our goodbyes, and I wouldn't do it, though. I didn't say goodbye, because I was so afraid my dad was going to be scared. I didn't want him to be scared, so I just said, Dad, we're rooting for you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you on the other side. And then I told them they can take him off life support now. Church, I want to tell you something right now. You can't have hope without faith. Impossible, especially in these times. You cannot have hope without faith. And Hebrews 11:1 reminds us of this. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Amen? Amen. I couldn't see what was going on in those hospital rooms. I couldn't see what my poor dad was going through. I had no clue what God was doing behind the realms. But I will tell you, yes, I was stressed. I was tired. I was exhausted and I was terrified. But I did have hope in God. I really did. It was odd. I had this hope that even if this was the way God was going to take my daddy home, this was the way my dad had to go, because this was the way he was going to make it back to his maker. So I was like, okay, God. Not saying, now don't get that wrong, I ain't lying to you today, I was a hot mess. All right? I wasn't like, oh, I trust in the Lord and everything's fine. I did in my heart, but every time I would try, I'd go in that bathroom, in my bathroom, and just bawl out and cry out to God, I need you, I need your strength, I need your help. I'm going to have to bury my dad. So, a couple hours later, about 3 hours later, the phone rings. I know that this call, I don't want to answer. I don't want to hear that my dad's gone. And my poor baby brother, he's like, I don't want to hear it. You're going to have to answer that phone in another room. So I go in the kitchen and I'm like, hello? And they go, Mrs. Hiles? And I said, yeah. They're like, your dad's awake. So my brother, who's in the living room, doesn't want to hear it. And I said, wait, what? He hops off the couch because nobody says, when you know somebody's supposed to be dead, wait, what? At the end of that conversation. And my brother comes in. And they're like, yes, he's awake. Now, he's still in critical condition, so please don't get your hopes too high. But he had woken up and asked where his pants were. So that was, he's talking. And I'll never forget, they said, do you want to talk to him? I said, yeah, please. Because all along, I was so afraid my dad didn't know how much I loved him. I was so afraid. I kept trying to remember when's the last time I told him I love him. And so they put him on the phone. I'm like, hey, Dad. I love you. And my dad can barely talk because he's had that ventilator in his throat for like 30-some days. And I hear, I love you, baby. I literally got on my knees. I thought that was my miracle. I thought God was just going to let me hear my daddy tell me one more time that he loved me, and I got to tell him that I love him. But that's why we don't tell God what restraints a miracle can have. Amen. Our God is bigger than anything we can come up with. Fifteen days later, it was in May, my dad walked out of that hospital. This hard lesson ended in God swooping in and saying, not even death can stop him. Amen. Amen. And my grandma, oh man, she's part of the reason I'm up here today. She prayed over me, and I know Jesus because of her, but I'll never forget that day. She was so cute. She went into the Christian bookstore that morning, and or a couple days, because she knew Dad was getting released. And she found a cross that said, he is risen. And my dad walks out of the hospital, and there's his mama. He's risen! So, I'm digging, right? And I finally hear that clunk. Phew! I'm sitting thinking there, that the hard part's over. It's only going to get better from here. God, we just saw a miracle. And you know what was so cool about my dad's miracle? It was in a really dark time for everyone. So we're thinking, and I'm like, okay, God, whoo, that was hard, and I do never want to go through that again. Amen? But that's what I thought. I thought I was done digging. I was done digging. But in August, my cousin Kaylin calls me crying. Katie, Grandma's stage 4 cancer. I dropped to my knees. I literally did. Bear with me, church. We're going to get through this. Woo! For those of you that don't know me, my grandma was my everything. My heart, my love, my mama, my hope, my comfort, my rock. As I'm laying there, I'm slowly rising. I don't know what he's doing, but I get up and I start laying the rock. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm just going to be obedient. I want to build that foundation. I need it. I go from getting my dad back to himself. Literally in July, we finally get him to where he can live on his own. And because he came out, but he was a mess. It was like learning everything new, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? I'm literally exhausted. I go from getting my dad back to himself to taking grandma to her radiation, helping taking care of her, running her errands. I won't lie to you, at this point, I'm exhausted. I've never been this exhausted in my entire life. It is only by his strength that I can keep going. It really was. My flesh literally wanted to lay in that big deep hole I just dug. I was exhausted. There'd been no break. I go from planning my dad's funeral to hearing my grandma's leaving me. February 21st. My grandma has a little time left. And I have to watch the person I love more than anything in this world die in a horrific way. I didn't understand what he was doing to me. I literally did many times, God, where are you? Where are you? She doesn't deserve to go down like this. She gave many, she brought many people to Christ. She was such an amazing woman. So one night we thought this was her death night, and I lost it. I lost it. I babied my grandma all the time. And that night, me and my family, we were watching her. But before that, cancer's awful. Awful. And she went from not eating to the point I had to put a sponge in my grandma's mouth just to give her some water. I'll never forget. She took my hand and she squeezed it and she groaned. She was in pain. I lost it. I wasn't going to stand there and watch her be in pain anymore. I was like, where is hospice? Where are they? She doesn't deserve this. She can't be in pain. That night, we thought Grandma was going to pass. I literally, thank you, brother. I literally went to God and I kept rubbing my grandma's head and kissing it, telling her it was going to be okay. I didn't want her scared. And I literally grabbed her hand, and she couldn't hear my prayer, but I literally got down and I said, God, I'm not ready for her to go home, but I cannot take her in pain any longer. Please take her home. 3 days later, my grandma passed away. It was on a Sunday. She's so stubborn. She really was. You weren't going to tell her. I mean, she literally, I think deep down, she couldn't wait to go to heaven. But she wanted to stay here for her grandbabies. She definitely loved her great grandbabies too. And nobody was going to tell her. Literally, when they put her in the hospice bed, she looked at my dad. She says, I'm getting out of here. She was, just not in the way she thought she was. And she did. She went home with her maker on a Sunday morning, and I'll never forget. You probably all have lost somebody, especially in these last 3 years, but I'll never forget. You literally feel their spirit leave. I dropped to the floor. I literally did, you guys. I dropped to the floor, and I just thought all hope was gone. I did. I thought all hope was gone. I wanted to scream out and run up and down the streets. I knew I needed help. I knew I needed his help. I was not going to get through this alone. So I remember praying, God, I need help. I need help through this. I need. My grandma was my love. She was my everything, and she was gone. She was just gone. And I thought, God, what are you doing to me? You literally feel, I don't know if you guys are the same age I am, but back in my day, we used to have a TV show called Punked. At this point, I am literally looking for Ashton Kutcher because I have to be being punked. A couple days later, we have an amazing, amazing, amazing ministry here at First Open Bible. It's called the Stephen Minister. And one of my good friends called me and she goes, we want to offer you something. The church would like to offer you some help. And I literally started crying on the phone because I had just prayed, God, you got to help me. Now, one thing you don't know about Katie is she's very prideful when it comes to getting help. I don't like people helping me. I don't like asking for help. And so they got me signed up, and I literally got the best one, in my opinion. God knows that Katie was stubborn, and this lady was just as stubborn. And she was going to make sure that I was going to learn how to get through this. And she was the most beautiful, beautiful soul I had literally come across. And I was lost. I was wounded. I was a hot mess, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. And she came to me. Man, I felt her love. She literally, the first time we met, we'd meet at Panera every Tuesday, and she'd hold my hands and just cry with me. She told me, she goes, "This is not going to be easy." And that felt so good, you know, because you always just think, you know, especially as a youth leader, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to let this overtake me. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to have the joy of the Lord. I wasn't happy. I wasn't feeling the joy. I was trying to find the joy. Amen. I was looking into it, but I had the biggest loss. The person I was most terrified to ever lose in my life had lost, and it was my big first loss. It was awful. But she wouldn't let me give up. I literally wanted to just fall into depression, but her spunkiness kept me out of it. She'd set me straight, and that's what I loved about her. You know, she'd listen to your heart, but she wasn't going to let you feed into the lies that the enemy was trying to teach me, that, you know, it was hopeless. No. She let me know that this wasn't going to be easy, but God and her were going to see me through. And that brought me so much comfort. So much comfort. October 2022, my Stephen minister's in the hospital with COVID. Boy, was she against COVID. COVID wasn't holding her back. It sure wasn't. She wasn't going to let any of that come against her. And while she's in the hospital, she's texting me on October 1st, and we're chatting back and forth. I'm like, "You're in the hospital?" She's like, "Yeah, but I'm all right. The food here's awful." I just laughed, because that was her thing about things. She'd always make you laugh. And she'd been facing an obstacle that wasn't COVID at that time, and something she'd been praying for. I don't know. She goes, "You know what God told me on our way back from vacation? Do you believe in miracles?" I said, "Yes, I do. And that is what it's going to take. So do you, Katie, believe in miracles? I know you do. Trust him, my friend." This was the last text she ever sent me. She ended up passing the day after my birthday, actually. I really am at this point. What are you doing to me? What are you doing to me, God? I keep trusting you and trusting you and trusting you, and everything around me keeps falling apart. But the weird part was, this time, the storm had risen. It wasn't brewing. I won't lie, I was shattered, broken, exhausted. I felt so alone. This woman was going to help me. She was helping me. She taught me that the first without them are the hardest, and Thanksgiving and Christmas were around the corner, and she was preparing to help me through that. Now I was grieving two people I loved. Like I said, though, this time was different. He was showing what it's like when someone comes to him. I just kept coming to him, no matter what. I just kept coming to him. I didn't give up, because really, there is nowhere else but him to find hope. So no matter what storm was brewing, no matter what was thrown at me, I didn't feel him all the time. I didn't know what he was doing. But I still kept coming, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I need you. I need you. Help me." This time, church, when the flood waters rose and broke against my house, it stood firm because it was built well. God knew everything I was going to go through. Everything from the time I was in my mother's womb. he knew these last couple years, I needed a really firm foundation. Let me tell you what the Bible says about this hope. 1 Peter 5:10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you, support and strengthen you, and place you on a firm foundation. Life is hard, church. That's right. Say it all. It's hard. He never said it'd be easy. Not one time. Don't believe me? Open the word. You look what those disciples went through. You look what Jesus went through. Everybody gets the idea that Christianity, once you give your life to God, it's supposed to be easier. He's just supposed to make you not go through anything. That's not true. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but that's true. Stop watching those cartoons or something, because that is not how it works. You're going to lose loved ones. I hate saying that to you. I hate it. You will. You're going to lose parents. You're going to lose spouses. Some of you poor people have lost kids. You will lose people. But Pastor, when he preached on Easter morning, the one thing that touched me more than anything is when I thought about when my grandma passed, when Pastor was talking about what the disciples went through. I thanked God Sunday morning that I didn't have to watch my grandma be crucified. I didn't have to watch people beat her. It's not easy. It's not easy. But he gives us the hope that we need. All I can say, church, is I don't know what you went through, but I know you went through something. There ain't one person. If you tell me that you've had a great couple of years, I'm going to call you a liar. I'm going to call you a liar. Because you've all been through something. And these past 3 years, 2 years, I swear the enemy sent his troops out to tear us down. But God. Hallelujah. But God. It took all of this to help me stand firm and be built well with him. And he and I aren't done yet. We're not. I still have deep roots to grow. I call these last couple years growing pains. I grew, but it was painful. I grew as a Christian. I grew as a person. I grew as a daughter. I grew as a granddaughter. I grew as a sister. I grew as a youth lead. I grew. And it's not going to be any easier, right? When you're called to something, and you're all called to something. Every single one of you were not born to just sit in the pulpits. You have a reason and a purpose. It may not be to be up here. It may not be to be on the worship team. But you have a calling and a purpose, and deep down you know what it is already. You have your gifting, start using them. Well, let me tell you something, church. Woo! I no longer waver in my hope. Hallelujah! And if you don't know what kind of hope that waiver hope is, let me share it to you real quick, because I think majority of you have it in here. It's that I got a $2 raise kind of hope. Oh, see what I'm talking about? You all got your hope in that. 3 days later, gas prices are $8. How's that $2 hope holding on to you? That raise? Amen? I'm serious, folks. When you look at the lies the enemy tries to scare us with, that's what this drama was up for here you tonight. I don't know if you saw it was like fear and anxiety and war and all these other things. That's what we've been going through the last couple years. We're supposed to be scared. I'm not scared anymore. I'm a child of God. I don't care if I get beaten down in a war. I don't care if I go from being homeless. God will restore whatever it is. There's always a reason and a purpose. Some of you have lost possessions. Some of you have lost jobs. But God. But God. And some of you right now are going through hardships. And that's why you're here today. It is. It's why you're here today. Because, church, I'm going to tell you, you can't just get on that wavering hope. $2 isn't going to save you, but Christ will. Doors that have been closed that you didn't want closed, God says, oh, they're closed for a reason. Because you don't see what I see. You don't have the confidence I have in you. I closed this one because, sister, you don't even know what's going to be open in this one. But like I said, it was not easy. That's not going to be easy. There is something for you to learn. And as a good, good father, just like my dad, you know, you got whoopings if you got out of line, and you got grounded if you got out of line. And he was like, what's up? Oh, gosh, dads, parents. But my dad was a good dad. He didn't want me to get into the stuff that he got into a youth. And there's so much stuff that your father doesn't want you to get into, because it's a lot harder to get out of those things. So, Hebrews 10:23. Come on, church, I want you to say this one out loud with me. Ready? Ready? Got your shovels? Let's do it. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Woo! Now, real quick, I'm going to end here. But I want you to know I'm sharing this all with you today, not for pity. This was actually very hard for me. I tried to back out of this message multiple times. You can ask Miss Erica. I was like, I can't. It's too hard. I'm going to cry up there. People are going to think, I don't care. I don't care anymore, because I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed to thank God for what he's done for me. You all have probably had heartbreak. You've lost someone or something. Some of you may be to a point where their hope is just near impossible for you this morning. You think there's no way. These are very hard lessons for me. But you know what? They brought me fruit. But I will tell you what they were. They were all worth it. God is rooting me and grounding me into his firm foundation. My friend passing to suicide set me free for a plan the enemy handed me and I willingly accepted. You want to know what that was? You can ask anybody that knows me. When my grandma passed, I was going to kill myself. That was my plan from 7 years old up. I was going to kill myself because there was no way I was going to live a world without her in it. I couldn't. She's always my stronghold. But God knew I needed to see the effects of suicide in order to not accept it. And that was ripped. That lie was ripped. That enemy didn't want me up here today telling you that there's hope in hopeless situations. My dad almost dying made some unbelievers believers. I almost lost my dad, and not only did he let me keep him, he gave me my brothers and sisters in here. My dad dying got me to know this church. This church stood behind me. They didn't know me. They didn't know my dad, but they drove every week and prayed for my daddy. And I thought, man, a church like that to love on me and to pray for my family? A year ago, I became a member. And the best decision I ever made. Seriously. There's brothers and sisters in here today that I'm so, so thankful for. Let me tell you, the only real way to stay grounded and rooted is to get involved in your church. I mean that. You need to get involved in the church some way, somehow. If I did not have my youth to rely on me, I would have probably wandered into depression. You need to be rooted and grounded. I knew I had a responsibility up in the church, even though I didn't feel it all the time. These kids were relying on me. And it was because of the fact that I had that. God knew everything he was doing before my grandma died. He knew I needed this position to keep me in the right way. He knew that I needed this church more than I had any clue. God makes a way. My grandma passing is still hard for me. Every day I cry a little. But my grandma's love was like no other. It brought joy, happiness, peace. But it took my grandma passing to know that that was God's love the entire time. He knew I needed it physically as a little girl, so he gave me her as that. But now that she's gone, thank you, Father, for your love that entire time. That was his love. That was his love. So I know some of you have lost some people and you think that's the end of it and you just thought, well, nobody loved me like that. Oh, that's not true. He loves you way more than anybody on this earth ever possibly could. My Stephen minister, God bless her. Mwah! I know she's up there rooting me on with Grandma. She showed me God's grace and love for me through one of my darkest times. I'll forever hold on to her last words, forever. She taught me how to be strong in my weakest time. And you know what else she taught me, church? She even gave me a plate that says it, broken crayons still color. All right, now, church, you gotta stop running out to a hopeless world looking for hope. You gotta be the hope. You don't have to feel it all the time, but you gotta be it. You gotta speak it. You gotta act it. I didn't feel it, I told you. I did not feel it all the time. But it's there. Now, I know some of you are non-believers in this room. Maybe you don't know Jesus, heck. Maybe some of you even hate him. But guess what? There's no judgment in this place today. Because I, as your sister, God teaches me, come as you are. That means addiction. Come here, child. That means hurt. Come here. Even if you hate him, he loves you. You are here not by mistake. Some of y'all think you just came for a drama. Yeah, right. That wasn't it. God knew it was going to take the drama to get you here. But I'm just here to tell you, church, there is hope. So, maybe you've been through so much, you think there's no way possible he's going to help you out. You've tried everything. You've tried drugs, you've tried alcohol, you've tried shopping addiction. You're trying to fill this void. Will you do me a favor? Prayer teams, will you come up? God wants to do something for you today. Some of you have been turned off religion. Sometimes because A, it was pressured on you, or people, a Christian like me, left a bad taste in your mouth about God. We're not perfect. But can I say something to you right now? Please, please don't punish God for my flaws as a Christian or for the flaws of my brothers and sisters up here. We're not perfect. We're just like you. We're fleshly. Please don't punish God for that, and don't punish yourself. You think you're standing firm saying, I'm not going to do this God thing. You're not going to push your religion on me. I don't want you to take my religion. I'm not asking you to be a member today and convert to my religion. All I'm asking you is give my Jesus a chance. I promise you, if you give God a chance, you won't regret it. There's no better void. And if you don't trust me, if you don't trust God, I'm living proof. I've been in hopeless situations. I'm only giving you a testimony of the last couple years of my life. Oh boy, it goes deeper than that. My point is, church, we gotta be the hope in the hopeless world. And I gotta be real, me and my best friend, we always say, I don't know how non-believers do it nowadays. I don't! I do not know, but you're not. You're getting addicted to things that you think is going to fill this void. I'm living proof, church. Will you stand with me? Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Did you hear that? Because I don't hear it up in this church. Like, we should be excited. What did he just tell us? He knows the plans for you. He's known it all along. Anything and everything that you're going through right now is not a shock to him. It's not a shock. So, as worship teams here are playing, these are my beautiful brothers and sisters. Some of you may be scared today, but I'm telling you right now, if you walk out of this room without just talking to him. You don't have to come up here. You don't. You can stand right where you're at and talk to him. It's not for a show. It can be between just you and him. But some of you may not even know how to go about that. These people are so excited. They're so excited to share with you how to do that. There's no judgment in this place at all. I watched a worldly girl give a testimony, not a testimony, but she was crying, and she's definitely not living for the Lord, and she just started crying, and she goes, you know, maybe they say you can come as you are, but maybe if the church was a little less judgmental, but they won't accept me as I am. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for we don't always know what we do. We get self-righteousness from time to time. We're not perfect. But Jesus, right here, right now, he's here, and he is telling you, come as you are. I'll take care of the rest. That drug addiction, you're like, it ain't gonna matter. I'm gonna go up there. I'm gonna still feel the crave. Guess what? You don't have to worry about that part. Jesus can transform anything. God has you. So as the worship team starts, I just want to end with this. Hope is never lost in him. Wait on the Lord today, and he will renew your strength. So, are any of you going to join me up here? I'm not talking about just non-believers. I'm talking about the believers in this place that have been so helpless and hopeless. Come up here. Let us pray for you. Let us cover you in prayer. I thank God for you. I thank God that you're in this room. And even if you never come today again, I just want you to know God loves you. We love you. We'd love to have you join us on another Sunday. Come. Get renewed. Get grounded in a church. You want to stay out of trouble? Get involved in the church. Want to keep your mind off those addictions? Come get involved. He wants to use you. I love you. I'll be praying for you. Find hope. It's here. All you got to do is come get it. Pick up those digging. Let's start digging. I love you.